Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefrey, and this is episode number 325. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just helps us continue to highlight the great people we have in our profession. Also want to thank our sponsor, Train Heroic, for making these episodes to you for free. Only partner with companies that I believe in both the people and the product. So make sure you check them out if you're in the market. And if not, just let them know how much you appreciate them being part of the show. This week, I'm joined by a friend of mine, Taylor Lang. He's a former staff member from Eastern Michigan days, I think, right? And is the head strength coach at Colorado Christian College and just doing some great things, man. So appreciate you coming on the show, brother.
Yeah, Coach. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Taylor, give everybody just kind of a quick rundown of your journey.
Yeah, so I'm from Michigan originally, and that's how we kind of connected at Eastern Michigan. So grew up in Michigan, ended up playing baseball at Spring Arbor University, which is kind of in Jackson, Michigan. Had a decent career there, but, you know, through battles, a couple injuries and started to, in off season, really just enjoy the process of getting ready for season. I mean, baseball in college is kind of interesting because you play in the spring, but you're pretty much training all fall, all winter. Getting ready for the season, which is very, very short. So I started to love the process of getting ready for the season. And so I knew that, you know, when my playing days were done, I didn't want to do something behind a desk and knew I needed to continue my education. So went to Central Michigan University, got my master's there in exercise physiology. And then pretty much in between, I believe it was in between my first and second year, was able you were right in my backyard in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and was able to get connected with Fred initially and started doing the internship with you at Eastern Michigan. And that's truly where it all kind of kickstarted for me. I mean, you were such an advocate in continuing education, especially with the NSCA. And I knew that once grad school was done that, you know, the NSCA was something I should probably look to get in either into or getting connected with. And so after I graduated from Central, I was fortunate enough, did the internship at the NSCA and was with Scott Caulfield and Aubrey Watts for a little while. And then I ultimately fell in love with Colorado. Did not want to come back. You know, Michigan winters are not as flattering as the winters in Colorado, because you actually get to see the sun most of the time. So was fortunate enough. Colorado Christian is very similar to where I did my undergrad at Spring Arbor University, private Christian school, blue and gold, same mascot with Cougars. And when I was at Spring Arbor, we didn't have any form of strength conditioning. We didn't have, we didn't even really have our own facility. The whole, I would say performance center was for the whole university, and you kind of had to fight for platforms and racks with other members of the university. And so when I came to Colorado Christian, it was the exact same deal. And that was the very first thing I requested, was that I needed a space designated for athletes only. And this will be my third year here now. And I'm happy from where we've started. It was initially, it was nothing. There was nothing that existed before I came in. We had a lot of coaches doing their own thing, whether it be, you know, outsourcing CrossFit coaches or just kind of what they thought they needed to do in terms of get their team ready for their season. And so I think we're caught up to speed now. I'm not going to say that we're fully there, but it's definitely been a journey, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all of those steps that I took prior to coming here.
Yeah, it's such an important, I love the journey question because I think people don't recognize how much goes into opportunities. Even being a head strength coach at small school or college or high school or whatever it may be, I mean, there's a road that leads, to that. And we're still in a profession that's less than 60 years old, and jobs are still being kind of created and formed, and there's not very many of them out there. So any job is an important one. You and I, we've talked about this as, when you're a part of the staff is, learning from other people's mistakes will help you bypass a lot of the landmines that kind of come about, And so what is one of the mistakes that you've made in your career now that you think that a coach might be able to learn from and avoid?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think initially when I first started, I wanted to, especially being kind of at where we were as a program, I needed to get us all acclimated. I needed to do everything that everyone else was doing and, bring us all up to speed. And I definitely regret doing that. I tried to do quantity over quality. And I tried to get in as many exercises and, we got to get caught up to speed. We're a Division II program, more is better, more. And, I've regressed in my second year. I pulled back the reins a lot, in terms of, really just focusing on quality of movements and not only just quality of movements, but like teaching and understanding why that we're doing what we're doing and why we're going through a power phase and the certain things that we do in season and off season. And now coming into the third year, those people that I've had, since freshman, it's been really cool to see them grow and develop. And I rely a lot actually on them now to help the underclassmen and teach them and pour into them. And I think that's so much more valuable if it can come from them than from me, because they're, your senior leadership, your upperclassmen that are taking the initiative to, make sure that the underclassmen know what to do, what should be expected. And so I would definitely say now, especially, with limited resources, that quality is so much better than sloppy quantity. So that's definitely one of the biggest things I've taken in. And seeing that at the NSCA, seeing that at Eastern, in terms of just being efficient with your time and why we have certain pieces of equipment spaced around the room, for the flow of the room, so we can be more efficient. I mean, that has helped tremendously, just being able to designate different things and so that we can be as efficient with our time as possible, because we don't have a lot of time, but we can have quality in that allotted amount of time too.
Yeah, so important. I think that takes it comes with wisdom, right? It comes with experience that, having the confidence to be able to pull back and not feel like you have to throw a million different exercises or have the latest best piece of equipment or whatever it might be, the genius is in making the complex simple and learnable as you go. You mentioned time in there and space and being at a small school. What are some of the, obviously I think everybody can relate to the challenges that come with maybe being at a small facility. What are some of the tactical things that you've done either to manage your time or manage your time with your athletes or create more space or better usage of your space there at Colorado Christian?
Yeah, no, I mean, well, it's so funny because I was out there at the NSCA when you were, helping the NSCA do their renovation and coming from that amazing facility. And then, my expectations were like, way up here because I got to work in that environment with, just an amazing facility. And so coming here and thinking, like asking my AD, like we need this, like if we want to even have a chance to stay afloat, and then realizing like, no, like I can still accomplish the same things, you know, whether it is just, you know, it's not hard to go to Home Depot and grab 20 PVC pipes. It's not hard to go to the hardware store and get, you know, chains if that's something that, you know, you're just interested in. And I mean, just being, in terms of being efficient with our time, I mean, I've been so happy and proud of our athletes. And mainly this is just like, I feel like I've poured so much into the upperclassmen and thankfully, like they've, you know, it took a while. Like they had to trust me and I trusted them, but, you know, I built that rapport with them and so they know, like, even if there's, you know, a team, up here right now that, you know, the mobility and the dynamic warm-up needs to be started 5 minutes, you know, prior to us lifting. And that's the standard. And, you know, that way, because we are on such kind of a tight time schedule throughout the day, that the second that next team is in, like, they're already warmed up, they're ready to go. And they know that. They know that you're never – in our situation, you are never – there's always going to be someone before you. There's always going to be somebody after you. So, you know, we're looking for quality, but we need to be efficient with our time. And I have relied on the upperclassmen very heavily, that standard is understood and it's executed, and they've done a fantastic job with that. You know, they know that we're on a time crunch and that there will be days that it is just them, but they've been very respectful of that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that's an important takeaway that I don't want people to miss is when you're, you know, I mean, you know, having been at Tennessee or NFL or wherever the, you know, the different places that I've been, I've had access to phenomenal facilities, but I also go back to, you know, building a program from scratch at South Florida in less than a 2000 square foot weight room. And, what you learn when you're in those environments is that people are your most precious resource. And poured into your upperclassmen or pouring into your administration or you know, your fellow coaches or colleagues or whatever, that's what's going to make things better for you from a time efficiency standpoint or being able to utilize your space to the best of its capacity and the whole deal. So great, great takeaway there. You know, when you get to a program, I think, were you the first person there, first strength coach, Ray?
I am, yeah, yes. There's nothing before.
Yeah, so I mean, when you arrive at a place that hasn't ever had experience with that, you have to create your own culture from scratch. You have to build buy-in from scratch. You know, what were some of the tactical things that you did there to really get to a point to where you're, you know, I mean, you're in a pretty nice facility right now. You're looking over, you know, you've got a good setup, at least going in the right direction. What were the tactical things that you did early to kind of get that buy-in?
I mean, definitely initially, build the relationship with the coaches. And, you know, that's something that I've seen at every place that I've gone, whether it's been the NSCA, whether it's at Central, whether it's at Eastern, is that if you don't have a good relationship with your coaches, then, you know, it's hard to, I mean, they're not going to trust you. And then, you know, they're not going to let you have their athletes. So, you know, just building that initial relationship with them, because, I mean, I knew that, you know, that me coming in and taking over, like, there would definitely be questions and I needed to prove that I could answer those questions. And, but, you know, the not coming in and, being demanding, you know, being open-minded, being able to, you know, I'm coming in my role and I want to collaborate with you as a coach. I'm not trying to be one-dimensional. Like, I know you've been around the block and you've seen things that work and seen things that don't work. And I want to build on the things that work and not go towards the things that don't work. And so that was really cool in the beginning because I definitely think I had some, rightfully so, some, you know, skeptics. I'm a little bit young for someone in this position and definitely had to prove myself. But you know, building that trust with them, I mean, then that kind of trickled on down. Then when I go to meet the athletes for the first time, the coach says, like, hey, this is our strength coach. I trust him. And so you need to buy into what he's saying. Like, that speaks volumes. I don't have to, you know, work at building that rapport with the athletes, even though I will. But having the coach back you with what you say is everything. Because that's their coach. That's why they came. Even these families, like, family has trusted the coach with their son or daughter. And so I think that was super important for me in the beginning, is building that relationship initially with the coaches. And then that kind of kept allowing me to work with their athletes more and more, to the point where now it's full tilt. There is no questions. And we have very good relationships. It's been so cool to just, work with our coaches and like, they have ideas and just, the popcorn and off of each other. And so definitely building the initial relationships with the coaches.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. That's, that's, sometimes you walk in and it's an adversarial type of relationship. Like, it's us versus them. And the reality is that, I mean, those coaches, you can learn a ton from, that's why they're in the positions they're in, because they're good at what they do. And it is ultimately the job of a strength coach to support that coach and help put the best team on the field or the court or in the pool or whatever. And it doesn't all center around sets and reps in the weight room, and sometimes we try to make it out to be that. You mentioned earlier, how old are you now?
I am about to turn 29.
Yeah, so 29 years old, and you've been head strength coach for, 2 years. I was 23 years old when I first got my head strength coaching opportunity. When you're in that, when you're a young strength coach like that, it's a lonely seat at the top. It can be a lonely place, especially when you're at a place where you maybe don't have assistants or GAs or anything or early on. You talked about a little bit about community there, some of the mentors that you had, but you've done a good job throughout your career of creating kind of an outreach of people that you can reach out to answer some of these types of questions when you do have those opportunities. And I'm a firm believer, just for the people that are listening, like, I don't think you get into this business to be an assistant strength coach. No disrespect to the people that are listening that are assistant strength coaches, but the job really is being a head strength coach. That's when you have to create culture and buy-in, and you're the definitive stop when it comes to accountability and all those other the programming and all that. What have you done to really build a community and a support system to make sure that you succeed as a young head strength coach in the field?
Also, why I really love our field is that it's really not that big. And I feel like every time we talk about this all the time, but like when we go to those conferences and clinics, like it's a big reunion. It's a big family reunion. Someone's coming from somewhere else that worked under someone. Like, the coaching tree, I feel like, is spread so far and wide, which is so awesome. And that's why I loved being able to go to those NSCA events and seeing people and building new connections, but also rekindling old ones and seeing where people are going and have gone. I wouldn't have been able to get our program where it's at if I didn't have, amazing people like Scott Caulfield to talk to about what to do with some of my teams, or even Fred and Coach Fink at Eastern, working with our men's basketball team initially. They were a huge help, and talking to Coach Short as well at Eastern, picking those guys' brains. And then, it was really cool. Like, my intern class at Eastern when we were working with you was, we had a tight group of guys that we were able to bounce ideas off of each other. It was almost like, even though we're all at different places, we're still all on the same staff. And that was really, really helpful for me. I mean, guys, I relied on them a lot initially, because, you had Bobby go to Austin Peay and some other places, and what works for them, what doesn't. And so that's what's really cool too, is I feel like in our conference, the RMAC, all the strength coaches in our conference are really close together too, and it's really cool. And I love that, like, we have a conference every year, and we we get together and it's like, hey, what's working, what's not? Like, and that initially when I was invited to that, I was like, man, that would be crazy. Like, if you had all the Division I football coaches come into a room and they would talk about, hey, what's working, what's not working, that would never happen. But as strength coaches, it's cool. Like, we know, you know, everyone's doing something different, but still, you know, the same kind of at the same time. But everyone is just super helpful. And I've never run into a conversation with a strength coach that has been like, no, I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing. Like, no, this is what I'm doing. This is what's worked. This is not, you know, maybe try this.
Right.
I just think our community is so caring and so kind and looks forward to building this industry up.
Yeah, I mean, that's, as you know, that's one of the things that to me was so important, the reason why I run internship programs and the reason why I would invest in you guys as much as I did was because that's really the legacy part of this field, right? And you know, going back to how do you touch more athletes? How do you have a bigger impact on athletes? Well, you have an impact on their coaches, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, driving, you know, a lot of that was by design, right? Making you guys as close as you were as an intern group and really creating group projects and different opportunities for you to grow. Super important. And as you would attest to, that's one of the first things I say in that first intern meeting is like, look, you guys are going to lean on each other for the rest of your career. Even if you don't go on to stay in the field, you still create some great relationships and some great memories, you know? And I think that's the thing, right? I think we all, again, less than 100 years of this profession, we all have an obligation to help grow it, you know, be it through mentorship or opportunity or creating new new jobs or putting on more clinics or being open with our knowledge and our information. Those are all important things for everybody. So I appreciate that. We end the show, man, with some resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Oh, best piece of coaching advice. I mean, I think, you know, we kind of talked about the quantity versus quality thing. I mean, the whole, you know, KISS principle, you know, keep it simple, stupid. I think that has been kind of a staple here. I mean, just because, you know, we have to keep it simple. There's no need to, you know, you see, you know, crazy videos of people doing overhead, single leg, this, that, whatever. Keep it simple. You know, what are we doing in this sport? You know, what are the fundamental principles of this? And knowing, you know, what each sport requires and the different types of injuries that occur. And so let's keep it simple. You know, this is what we need to focus on. If it doesn't have any transfer over to the court or the field or the pool, like you said, then we don't need to be doing it. So keeping it simple, I think, has been huge because, like I said earlier, that first year, I thought we had to do everything not simple. I thought we needed to go just crazy and you know, do every single thing. And that wasn't helpful for anybody. Yes, we got stronger, but did we learn movements? Did we learn proper mechanics? Probably not as well as we should have. But now we can't. That because we've simplified things and we focused on the foundation as opposed to everything else.
Great. Give us a book, app, website recommendation.
You know, one of the books, I'm similar to you, I'm a big Navy SEALs fan. And, you know, the 59 lessons, working with the world's elite coaches, athletes, and special forces. I mean, those special forces guys are, I mean, I get so fired up listening and reading to what those guys have gone through, what they've sacrificed, and in terms of like, never me ever. It's always we or team. Or they don't even know what I is or me. That's not even in their vocabulary. So similar to your book, actually, The Weight Room Wisdom, I love the 59 lessons, something that I can come in, you know, before the day gets started. You know, I can read it real quick. And it's been so cool. I mean, storytelling, I feel like, is so important with athletes. And so being able to like reflect on that and use that in the first, you know, 5-10 minutes before we get started. I've seen that that has like been super helpful and gets us ready, gets us focused for what we're about to accomplish.
Yeah, I agree. That's Fergus Connolly. I was looking for it. I've got it on my bookshelf somewhere back there. Oh, here it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good grab. That's awesome. Well, man, you know, as we've talked in the past, and we got to do a better job of staying even and touch better, but super proud of you, man, and what you're doing and how you're going about your career. And to me, it's no better thing than to see you guys go off to do fantastic things and touch your athletes. And that really is the driving force with everything that I do is to have that type of impact on athletes, you know, and one of the things that I learned early on was to do that and have a really good reach. It's to help mentor other coaches, other leaders, you know, and to be a part of that. And so honored to have had a small role in your journey.
Absolutely.
Super excited about where you're headed and how you're going about it, man.
Yeah, no, thank you, Coach. I mean, you've been so helpful, you know, with the program you ran at Eastern, and I get to see you and your staff, and I'm forever grateful for that, and it's definitely helped me. I mean, I try to replicate that program here every single day, so I appreciate that a lot.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.